and blame it on the hamness. Money, we made it. Yeah, but before we see it, are they taking? Yes, it make you wanna holler at them. The way they do your life, make you wanna holler right out.
Make you wanna holler. on Tribe and Family Channel, Spit, Spoken Poets Intellectualizing, hosted by Beverly Black in honor of National Poetry Month. Today, April 1st, 2024, on the anniversary of the passing of one of my poetic influences, Mr. Marvin Gaye. Honoring him and Gil Scott-Heron, my other poetic influence at the same time with that opening of Inner City Blues. Now, I've been sitting since I was a kitten, so I'm not going to even take the mic today, but thank you for joining Tribe Family Channel and the guest poets for a round of poetry, reflections, and words that honor our poetic influencers. Our phenomenal cast of guest poets includes Kathy Wright Lewis, Aaron Joshua, Moody Black, Danny Smith Mathis, and Dr. Maxine Bryant. These seasoned wordsmiths will be bringing the heat, so get ready for a real treat. Call 515-605-9741. Press 1 if you have a question. If you just want to listen online, visit blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Spit, Spoken Poets Intellectualizing, and Tribe Family Channel are Gumbo for the Soul, international family brands created, owned, and operated by yours truly, Beverly Black. All rights reserved. Don't try it. And now let me get to my spoken poets. They're going to introduce themselves in a round in which they will be spitting. Kathy Wright Lewis, Queen, how are you doing?
Oh, I am so blessed. Queen, Beverly, thank you so much for having me on once more. It's always a pleasure and an honor.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about yourself so the rest of the poets can hear your voice, and then we're going to move to the next one.
Okay. Well, I am my I am presence and a manifestation of the Most High, and I am not ego-tripping. Okay? I am an educator. I'm a poet. I'm an author, and I'm executive director of Power in the Pen Writing Workshop, Incorporated, here in Brooklyn, New York. I'm a native of Brownsville and a servant of the Most High.
All right, all right. And Power in the Pen Writing Workshop is in the Brownsville, you said?
Yes. Brownsville section of Brooklyn. We've been established for 9 years now. I have about 35 poets now and writers. Every single genre that there is, we write in, and we're just blossoming and blooming. We're working on our 6th anthology for this year.
Congratulations on that, Queen.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
So
Moody
so
Black.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Kathy.
No, I thought you wanted to, who wrote our influences and our poetic influences. I have to say Gwendolyn Brooks. I have to yield to her. She was my very first favorite poet. The late great Mary Baraka, of course. Late great Yusef Iman, Luis Reyes Rivera, of course. Nikki G. There's no other like her. Sonia Sanchez, and I'd be completely remiss not to mention the last poet. I'm complete. Thank you.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. Moody Black, welcome to Spit, Spoken Poets Intellectualizing. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your influencers.
Greetings, everybody, from South Carolina. Hope everybody's vibrating well. Moody Black, spoken word artist, hip-hop artist, visual artist, storyteller, comedian, teaching artist. Give me a lawnmower, I cut your grass real good. I'm all that. Don't ask me to sing. Because I cannot sing. I would scare everybody off this blog talk. My influences is too many to name, but I'm going to say all of y'all and people who have love in their heart, they inspire me in life itself, and I like walks on the beaches, sweet potato pie.
All right. And we see your Facebook and social media posts where you are definitely teaching and doing the doggone thing. So keep up that good work. Danny Smith Mathis, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your poetic influencers that I understand you are going to bless us with some of their works.
Yes. Good evening, everyone, and my fellow poets. Thank you, Beverly, again, for holding space for all of us. I am Danny Smith Mathis. Writing is not what I do. It is who I am. I am the descendant of George Moses Horton, who was the slave poet of Chapel Hill. He was also Phyllis Wheatley's best friend, and he was one of the first four African-American poets published in the South. And I will be honoring my favorite poet this evening by reading three of her works, Nikki Giovanni, who I named my daughter after.
All right. Well, welcome. And, you know, it's always a pleasure talking to you. You're living history. There's always these layers, and I'm always learning so much more. And here again, every time you talk, I learn something else. So thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. And speaking of Nikki Giovanni, this is a protege, I like to say, Dr. Maxine Bryant. This woman reminds me so much of Nikki. I had to have them both on the same show last year to let us have it, and Nikki didn't have a problem spitting. What's happening, Queen Dr. B?
Queen, and all the other queens and the king on the show. Greetings and salutations to my brother and my sisters. Thank you, Queen Beverly, for this opportunity to bring poets together so that we can share and uplift each other up. I'm thoroughly honored to be in the number. So I'm coming from Savannah, Georgia, and I was born and raised up north in Indianapolis, Indiana. Wrote my first poem as a teenager and realized, I was about 13, realized that words were my friend, and I had an affinity for expression. And so over the years, I have authored two poetic books, and along with some other books, but I'm now a professor, which is really ironic because my high school counselor said I was not college material. And now I teach at Georgia Southern. I'm also the director of the Center for Africana Studies and the Gullah Geechee Center. Glad to be amongst you all. Oh, my favorite poets, my poetic influences.
Go ahead, Queen.
May I share my poetic influences, please?
Please.
So, Tashaki Shange, you all may remember her for Colored Girls Who Consider Suicide When the Rainbow Was Enough, was one of my earliest influences, along with, as has already been spoken, Gwendolyn Brooks. Of course, Maya Angelou, Nikki G, always. Thank you for that introduction between Nikki and I. We've been in contact with each other since then, and that's like a wow in my life. And locally in Indianapolis, I don't know if any of you know of Tasha Jones. She goes by I Am Tasha, or poetry was also an influencer in my life. So thank you.
Hey, I know
wow,
Tasha Jones.
Wow.
She's dope.
Isn't she dope? All right.
Yeah, Tasha dope. Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody reach out to Tasha so we can get her on the show next Monday. And until then, we're going to go ahead and open up the mic because I want to hear y'all spit. I'm not even playing commercials until we sign off because we do have some sponsors like Dr. Maxine Bryant and Kathy Wright Lewis and Danny Smith Mathis. So we appreciate your presence, and we're going to go back up to the top. Kathy Wright Lewis, what you got? And for those with kudos or comments, and when she finishes, you can say kudos, or you can say kudos and comments if you have any thing that really resonates for you, so that we can hear those words. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. This first piece I'm going to spit, as you say, is entitled Dearest God. Dearest God, Where are you sending all the brothers, though? Clearly, they can't stay here. I keep watching them go. Almighty Creator, original source, I know you have a master plan we must follow, of course, and that divine intervention is always at hand. But I need some clarity for every black woman without a man. Not blaming you. I understand free will. I respect that, and I yield. But this request from my heart is true. When my days on earth have expired and my transition time is due, wherever you send my beautiful black brothers, can you send me too? I know we fought sometimes and acted the fool, but when it came down to business, I could always rely on my crew. Ricky's and Rikers, Mike's going home to you. Junior and Buddy's MIA, and we just buried Daniel too. As kingless queens with babies to raise, what are we to do? By another's curse, fruitful and multiplying in reverse. Don't want to see another hearse. Don't mean to press, and no disrespect. Just send me to the same address. You see, God, we need our brothers. Without them, our original mission is not complete. Overworked and unbalanced, we stand complete. Like our ancestors, we are one. None else can compete. We have civilizations and dynasties to cultivate, languages and technologies to recreate, worlds to burst and multiply, evils and illnesses to defy. Our story seems unfinished. Are we really complete? If not, I need a little more time with my father, Pete. And I still have grandfathers to meet. Without my brothers and nephews, I cannot live. Allow us to get on one accord again with misunderstandings of things we must forgive. I need my sons back and my cousins back. I need my mentors and protectors who always had my back. Where's Dr. Ben and Imhotep, Dr. Sazy and all the Black Panthers? I like to think maybe in their better place, patiently awaiting our presence, they're divinely kept. Obar, Jamal, all my sons who left early, and many more murdered black princes visit me in my sleep, restless and surly, calling for their mamas. Surely you hear them. I believe in my heart you must have secured them. I need to consult with Minister Malcolm and my beloved Dr. King, Mandela and Garvey. They were my everything. Is that your plan? Can we reconnect? Are they on another star where we'll all be sent? Don't get me wrong, I love my sisters, but sisters can't create life without a mister. Together, we balance the world, interchangeable yin and yang. I miss how we used to dance and how we sang. So I pray you grant my wish and make it come true, and I can look forward to spending eternity with brothers blessed by you.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Come up in the spotlight, whoa. She thought sticking those lines up like, whoa. I love it.
Wow. Yes.
Thank
anybody
you.
With a comment?
I do. And recognize that I'm the only brother out here on this platform, I'm going to speak on behalf of all the testosterone-filled humans. Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Goddess. Appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. That dynasty to build, that line stuck out, things we must forgive, and how we balance the world. Those things stuck out. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you, Queen.
I appreciate you, brother. I just need you to know that you're appreciated. So I'm so glad you're on to receive it.
I receive it.
Okay.
Like a check I've been waiting on in the mail. I receive it.
That's right. Take that torch and carry it. All right, Koodles. Any other comments? That was awesome.
All right, thank you for reminding us of the beauty of our brothers. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
He representing too. He representing.
Moody Blunt spit.
All right.
I hold it down by myself. I hold it down for the guys. I'm here.
That's right. That's why you're in the center of the flyer. I said, you know what? Let me put him right here in the middle.
Okay.
Surrounded
Moody
by
in the
queens.
Middle. Where you at? In the middle. Moody in the middle. Where you at? In the middle. Let's go. Moody in the middle.
Let's go, Moody. What you got for us, brother?
All right.
Oh, was that Danny? Did you want a comment? Okay, Moody, can you hear me? What you got for us?
Oh, I'm next. I thought I was third. Okay. Well, I stay ready, so I got to get ready.
Yes, Erin hasn't joined the call yet, so I skipped
her.
Oh,
okay.
So,
gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, you are absolutely right.
Well, I don't worry about it because your boy, stay ready. It's all good. Salutations, everybody out there. Man, what's going on, man? Thank y'all for having me. I'm so honored. Y'all, excuse my voice. I've been doing my residency. I'm in school this whole week, and I've just been all excited with the young people. So my voice is kind of crazy. So y'all bear with me. Appreciate y'all listening. I want to preface this poem. I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to do some love. I'm going to take it to another level. But from a southern perspective, because y'all know I'm country. But the quote, the great Malcolm X, Malcolm once said, stop talking about the South, because if you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. So this is for all my southern people everywhere below the Canadian border. And specifically dedicated to someone special. I hope that they're in here and listen. This is for her. All right. This is entitled, I Want to Love You Like a Country Man.
All right.
you make me break character. Now you make me laugh. Stop. All right. Woo. All right. Get my character back in. Woo. All right, here we go. Scene. All right. I want to love you like a country man. I want to hang out with you on the front porch with rocking chairs, waltzing on wrinkled wood. I would sing you country love songs like Islands in the Stream. Because that is what we are. I want to love you like country man. Look into each other's eyes and see all outdoors and our spirits. I want you to love me like a country man. Rub my country bald head, stroke the metal of my beard, then we go outside and catch lightning bugs. Not fireflies. We call it lightning bugs that drink the sky like city lights, but we molasses drip of this country grammar. Our twang pour out like a proper punctuation that flows so perfect from the mouths of our mason jars. I want to stare at the moonbeams from your smile. It's the kind of moonshine I want to drink. So your laughter is my libation. I want to love you like a country man, like love you like chopping wood, hammer you firm, keep you sharp. So when it's time to go deep, we go deep. Like southern roots in the slave-filled soil that extend this country, all over this country where everyone can see how country they really is. I want to love you like fishing grits, stripping grits, buttering grits. And I don't like putting sugar in my grits, but baby, you can be the sugar in my grits. I wanna love you like a country man, like cutting the grass on Saturday morning, and I could be your John Deere to make sure I properly manicure the landscape of our love. Love you like all the chores done, and we finally can watch a movie kind of love. I wanna love you like a country man going to church. You on the usher board or Ursha board, depends where you're from, so I can love you like Deacon Johnson loves Sister Betty. Love you like pulpit. Love you like count all the money in the back room for the building fund type of love. Love you like watch you sing on the choir. Love you like I want to hug every hallelujah that's in your soul. I want to love you like a country man. Have you kissed my thick country lips? Lips that you said you love to hear me say things like soul is. Show enough and bless her heart. And look at here. So, baby, look at here. Let me love you like a country man. Will we be two grasshoppers in lush green meadows? Why does all our doze looking up at the velvet blanket of vanilla sky till you can't see country black outside? But the neighbors can hear us chirping, grasshopper leg rubbing language. I want to love you like a country man. It's as long as you love me like a country woman. Loving her country man, then we can show the world that being country is cool. That's that piece. Hold on. I'm going to tell you what.
And in the meantime, y'all get y'all kudos and comments together.
It should be a 614.
I don't see it, but you know what? Let me go ahead and let some of the, she might be calling, she probably listening, but, you know, listening privately.
She said she's here.
That's okay. It's enough sisters on here. We're gonna let her have it. My sisters that's here with us, Kathy, Danny, and Dr. Maxine, Dr. B. Go ahead, Kathy. Give us your kudos and kudos with comments.
I just want to say, brother, I'm up here in the north, but most of us came from the country, so
exactly.
And coming to New York doesn't make people less country. They still eat grits, and we still want to be loved like Blackwood.
let's go.
And we still want to be on the porch sipping sweet tea with you. So thank you for the love. Thank you for the black love. Thank you for the culture in your poem. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, kudos. Danny, any kudos with comments or kudos?
Listen, I was just enjoying to understand what it was to be loved by a country man. So thank you for that, brother.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you, if you do it right, ain't nothing like it, man. If you do it right, ain't nothing like it. We got you.
Listen, Dr. Maxine had to talk to my minister, who is a Southern brother, and he thought that I was from the South because, you know, my parents are from Louisiana and Texas. And he said, when's the last time you've been back to the South? I said, brother, I've never set foot in the South. But see, you can't take the South out of people.
You sure can.
I'm from San Francisco, okay? And he said, you make me feel like... He said, I made him feel like we were sitting on the porch sipping mint julep.
He deep South. That's Mississippi right there.
That's going to be the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson, Jr. Dr. Maxine, you have to tell him about his DC roots, but tell us about Moody Black right quick.
Moody, you represented my man. You really did. I've heard you before here in Savannah, and you brought it on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go back to Savannah, man. I can't wait. I'm trying to go to TBI on Juneteenth.
Let me know when you're in my country.
I got you, June 16th. I'm trying to get done. June 16th.
Okay.
That's my birthday.
I'm going to be here on the 15th. Well, I'm going to be near you.
Okay. I hear you. But you represent it. Thank you.
Thank y'all so much.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you really did. But now Danny Smith Mathis is about to hit us with some of her influencers, and I know it's going to be hot. Tell us, Danny, what is it? What you got?
Well, Beverly, you know, as as the educator and daughter of a president of a college, I got to represent. I have to represent the two people that made me who I am, my mom and my dad. But I have to say, when I was growing up, I was 9 years old, and I'm a product of the 1967 New York riots. And I say that, and when I say that, I mean this. My dad was the first African-American to be president of any college or university in the state of New Jersey, and he was president of a small community college called Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey. And when he was president, at the end of every year, during his six-year tenure there, I remember in the early 70s, end of the 60s, when before he became president, he was working at the college as the executive staff director, and he would bring home yearbooks, and these yearbooks were packed with poetry from the students of the college and surrounding areas, and one of them was Leroy Jones, who we know, who was Amiri Baraka, most of us know, and then Giovanni and Sonia Sanchez and Donnell Lee, who is, all of these are my influencers, you know. So Nikki, while we are, but my, one of my biggest influencers was an ancestor of mine who I mentioned was George Moses Horton. So he is an ancestor of mine, and he was known as the poet of the slave poet of Chapel Hill. He was literally a slave to the president of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's where my paternal family is from. And he was living on a tobacco plantation there. But lo and behold, he was one of the four writers who were first published in America. And he was Phyllis Wheatley's best friend. And in fact, if Phyllis Wheatley's autobiography, in between her, literally her biography, are the poems of my uncle, George Moses Horton. He actually snuck his poems in between her book. And he was the first, he became the first published African-American poet published in the South with his poems, Naked Genius. But in any event, I have poetry is in my blood, and I didn't even find that out until I was much, much, much older. In fact, I was out of college. I went to college for writing. I specialized in poetry. August Wilson was my mentor because as a young black female writer going to a predominantly white institution, Carnegie Mellon University, I had all white writers. They were all white male. I loved them. They loved me, but they could not help me keep my voice. And so I learned through August Wilson how to write and keep my voice as a black woman. And so August helped me long before anyone knew who he was. And he was, you know, we were in Pittsburgh together, and he would take me to lunch every week for a whole semester. I went to lunch with August Wilson, and we just talked, and he helped me keep my voice as a black writer. So I want to give kudos to August. I want to give kudos to Donnell Lee and Amiri Baraka, and I want to give kudos to Sonia Sanchez, and also a wonderful poet that really, really helped me in grad school to keep my voice as well when I went on to graduate school at University of Southern Cal, Barbara Chase Raboad, and she had a wonderful poetry book called From Memphis to Peking. But Nikki Giovanni, by no stretch of the imagination, is absolutely my largest influencer, and so much so that I have one daughter, and her name is Nikki, and I named her after Nikki Giovanni. And so I want to right now just read one of Nikki's poems in honor of Nikki and my daughter Nikki, and it's called Mothers. The last time I was home to see my mother, we kissed, exchanged pleasantries and unpleasantries, pulled a warm, comforting silence around us, and read separate books. I remember the first time I consciously saw her. We were living in a three-room apartment on Burns Avenue. Mommy always sat in the dark, and I don't know how I knew that, but she did. That night I stumbled into the kitchen, maybe because I've always been a night person, or perhaps because I hadn't wet the bed. She was sitting on a chair. The room was bathed in moonlight, diffused through those thousands of panes. Landlords who rented to people with children were prone to put in the windows. She may have been smoking, but maybe not. Her hair was three-quarters her height, which made me a strong believer in the Samson myth and very black. I'm sure I just hung there by the door. I remember thinking, what a beautiful lady.
She was very deliberately waiting, perhaps for my father to come home from his night job or maybe for a dream that had promised to come by. "Come here," she said. "I'll teach you a poem. I see the moon. The moon sees me. God bless the moon and God bless me." I taught it to my son, who recited it for her, just to say, we must learn to bear the pleasures as we have borne the pain.
Nikki Giovanni by Danny Smith Masters. What can we say? What can we say?
Yo.
I want Dr. Maxine Bryant to give us some words as to when Nikki was on Spit, Spoken Poets Intellectualizer. What was that like for you, Dr. Maxine, to have Nikki on this panel and to not even have to ask her to spit? What was that like, just, you know, moderating that and having that conversation? Dr. Maxine Bryant?
I'm sorry, I got myself on mute. I'm sorry. I was just talking to you.
But I was wondering if I was on mute.
That was an experience I will never, ever, ever forget, to be on the same mic and to share the platform with Nikki Giovanni was a dream come true. It was absolutely awesome. And my sister, you did her poem well. She would be proud.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Yeah. Her words are so poignant and so on time. They're timeless. Her words are timeless. So thank you. Thank you for bringing Nikki into this space.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
There we go. There we go. And Nikki knows that we're having this show today. She does know that we're on the air today. Unfortunately, she could not be with us. And but, you know, she has rarely said no. And so we want to thank her, especially on this day, for, you know, availing herself when she has been able to. I know back in 2007 when I virtually met Nikki Giovanni, I almost lost my mind, okay? It took me a little grip. And a few years to get it together to be able to sit in any poised manner, okay? But I've got myself together, and I'm able to sit poised. And so let me see if we have Aaron Joshua. Let me see. Area code 912. Is Aaron with us on this call? Area code 912. Are you a listener, or are you a guest poet?
I'm a listener.
Okay, well, thank you for listening, and we're going to get back to spitting one moment. Dr. Maxine Bryant, Queen, it's on you. You ready to spit?
I'm in the presence of such greatness. I'm trying to figure out which poem I want to share. I always feel the pull to educate. And on a platform, and so I think that I want to use one of these poems to educate a little bit about just some Black history. This is one I wrote a long time ago. It's called A Letter to My Children. I am Black but comely. The sun has shined upon me. They made me keeper of their vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept. This is the Song of Solomon, but I have my own song too. I am strong. I am fierce. I am the descendant of an African maiden. My people were forced from the motherland and were made to till another man's field. For over 200 years we were broken and abused, making others wealthy from the fruit of our yield. We cleaned up their houses, cared for their children, cooked up their meals and satisfied their men. We washed their clothes and ironed them too, only to be treated like cattle, considered second class in all we would do. But you see, that is not our story's ending. Neither is it our beginning. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. after creating every creature, he formed man from the dirt, a different kind of birth. Ah, the breath of life made man a living being, capable of doing many great things. Africa is the place where the first man was formed. We are the original people. So close were we to our creator that we were able to become one with our universe. We constructed temples and statues that defied nature's laws. We developed a way to communicate that still leaves scholars in awe. We carved pictures of ourselves in stone to forever show the blackness of our skin. Those who came from us and after us tried hard to amend our story. They didn't want the world to know that black came before white. They wanted us to forget that we are precious in God's sight. But I want you to know, my child, that before they made us frown, we wore a smile. We smiled because we knew secrets no one else could comprehend. We knew how to be one with God, and that made us great women and men. And to you, my little ones, the sky is truly your limit. Don't be stifled. Don't be hampered. And please don't be timid. Find your greatness in your God and in your past, for therein lies your future. Don't be held back by your sisters or your brothers. Finally, remember that you are descendants of a wise people, a great people, greater than us. There has been no other. I love you now and always, your mother.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Kudos and comments. Kudos and comments. Kathy, kudos and comments.
Yes, my sister, that should be in an anthology and given to every black child, put on poster for them to read every single day so they don't forget who they are. Yeah. Thank you for that. It's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moody.
It's a lot of inspiration, declaration, and affirmation all rolled up in one for young people. I think that's great delivery.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that. I agree with all
of
that.
Beautiful. Yeah,
I can hear
yeah.
a mother to son, a Martin mother to son.
Now, what I love about each and every one of you before we go on this quick break and come back for round two is the fact that you all have taken it to the depths of our history and who we are. And we can't get away from that. We need to spread these messages and platforms and forums and voices more often. If you're just tuning in, this is Spit, Spoken Poets Intellectualizing. We'll be right back after this brief message.
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I am a gazelle, so swift, he can't catch me. For a birthday present, when he was 3, I gave my son Hannibal an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intoned my loving name. All praises, all praises. I am the one who was saved. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine.
divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
And that's why they call her Nikki Giovanni.
Right. I'm Nikki Giovanni. My genius is poetry, because poetry makes us better people. Genius is common.
Thank you so much for Genius is Common, Nikki Giovanni's induction. And Genius is Common is the birth child of, or brainchild of, Mr. Bruce George, the creator of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, who is the person that introduced me to Nikki Giovanni. So I want to shout out Genius is Common, shout out Nikki Giovanni. And we're going to go back into our last rotation. Get ready for Kathy Wright Lewis on Spit, Spoken Poets. Intellectualizing. What's happening, Kathy Queen?
What's happening, my sister? I'm having a ball. I'm loving it. I'm loving everything I'm hearing. I am ready. I am ready. My hands are in the air.
We're ready for
you. My palms are up. Yes. And I am making a decree. Heal America. We are not begging. Heal America is not a plea. Heal America is our decree. With righteous indignation, it's our declaration as we utilize the power we possess. We evoke our ancestors, spiritual guides, archangels to impress the insistence of healing our nation from this relentless, hateful devastation. 500 years of wickedness, we rebuke you from our existence and proclaim the era of love and unity taken back our community. We fear no impunity because we have learned his I am presence we have earned. All power is in our hands. It's our time, so we will take a stand. All power is in our hearts. His rod removes all fragmented parts. Healed through the valley of the shadow of death, we've sprung. All power is released from our tongues. We know the way now. We've just begun taking back our children, our homes, our land, taking back our minds. You can no longer enslave us with your kind smiling face while plunging knives in our backs. You've been revealed. We see you now. In fact, we are covered from head to toe, shielded orange protectors. See how we glow? Your trickery is done. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No, not one, no, not one of his anointed ones shall perish. As long as one another we cherish. Our spirits are one. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have one. Now that we realize for far too long our eyes were covered with lies. So today we remove the enemy's disguise. Now we can recognize one another and rise.
I hear an anthem. I hear an anthem. I hear an ancestral-led anthem. What do you hear, Moody, Danny, Maxine?
I'm ready to start a revolution, man. I'm ready. Man, let's get it. I'm ready to march somewhere, boy. I'm ready. Take up arms. Where we going?
Fist up in the air.
I know, right?
Danny, kudos, comments.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level right there. That's another level. That's definitely the revolution room.
That's the Maxine. Yes, yes, yes. You know, I just love that
the level of which you all bring the message, we have to stay at this level. This is to educate the masses. So I'm definitely going to be spreading this show because every one of you have brought so much in your voice, in your message that we need to share. We need to enlighten the minds of the masses and open that thought wellspring so that they can get on message, okay? Nobody's coming to save us, okay? All right, y'all hear the history and you see it repeating itself, and so we better get wise. But let me stop. I know Moody is in there. I heard him clear his throat. Go ahead, Moody.
hey, that wasn't for y'all. I wasn't clearing my throat like, why would she hurry up? No, I had something in my throat.
Moody,
I
ready.
Told you my voice.
Nah.
I told you my voice.
Nah, you just. Yeah.
Listen, well, and then you got to go on. I feel bad. Like, I'm going to do a totally different poll. Now I'm going to go back to the revolution. Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to change it up now. But,
before you change up, I really want to make sure that everybody understands it's sugar and grits, okay? We need to kill the argument and answer the question today. It's sugar and grits. Well, go ahead, Moody. Go ahead.
No. That's an abomination to a true Southern person. Put sugar and no grits. You wrong. I'm going to dispel it now. Well, all that is for all those folks who couldn't get their kids eating nothing. So they put sugar on everything. That's the only way they got to eat it. That ain't right. That's an abomination, and you're getting your child early diabetes. That ain't right.
Right. Oh, my God.
That ain't
Lord,
right.
Why'd I say anything?
We're not going to put no sugar
on the grits.
Thank you.
Well, go ahead and start something with us. And what you going to spit now that I done got you all upset about it?
Yeah, you got. Now I'm going back to the poem I was going to read anyway. Now I don't want to do the revolution.
They're
going to
bring that heat. They're going to bring some real heat now, y'all. Come on with it.
No, I'm going to do something different just because of that. Now, keep in mind, I got to preface this poem, all right? Now, I used to have a long beard. I cut my beard off, okay?
No.
But it's a beard. Oh, yeah, my beard's gone. Yeah, it's gone. I'm sorry. It's a little goatee. It's cool, though.
You're developing a beard bomb, too. But go ahead.
I used to do all that. But anyway, but this poem is based from a point where I had my beard long. All right, so this is my beard poem, all right? Here we go.
All right.
I was once told that I have an old testament beard. And it seems there's a holy city sitting on my chin. Gray hairs appear like lightning striking this night sky on my face, where it marks the genesis of my wisdom. The exodus of excuses of not executing my grind, part ways of being in a sea of stagnation. I'm Moses trying to Leviticus the numbers to your Deuteronomy. While hoping my little cousin Joshua become the better of us, hoping he never have to be in front of judges like me, you know, being behind on child support. It can root your truth. Find yourself sitting in a booth at a bar drinking two Samuel Adams, trying to get too lit, trying to forget that you end up forgetting that there are two kings. That's the man in the mirror and the God in you. So when you write your life, it's two chronicles. That's what I told my bro Ezra one day, who just started Poetry Slam. Told him, don't write to get a high score. Just write poems that speak life to Nehemiah, the last apostle to your third Sunday. Hoping my homie Curtis hears my kingdom voice. Esther, roll us a good time. Because hard times can jolt your patience. So this is why we write these psalms to Proverbs, the Ecclesiastes in your teeth, the testament of your tongue to sing a song of Solomon. For all these mamas are losing Isaiah. And I remember My friend Jeremiah used to come to the Coffee Underground and speak Lamentations, poems with no limitations, because our thoughts are Ezekiel, wheels within wheels within wheels. We got my wheels turning. Ask Daniel. Ask Hosea. You will find yourself with people you least expect. I know I get random, but I fear my people might lose it. Sometimes I feel like we're losing because racism seems it will never die. Ignorance will Amos and Andy the revolution. My poem's got to say something. Got to help other prophets, Obadiah and Open Mic, Joel a haiku, just to keep it short. Because life is a well of a tale that will swallow you whole. Jonah. My friend Micah won Slam Madness at 19. His metaphors kind of whom your Habakkuk where it is written, write the vision. So I got to write for y'all. So I be seeing things. But on the flip side, I really be seeing things and things ain't right. Don't let me Zephaniah this mic just to get y'all to see the light because I'm all about building. Hi, God, you are home. Home is where the heart is. Sometimes you battle with your heart and your head when your head is the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel where you find Zechariah sitting, reading. Sometimes we read too much into things, and I'm just a messenger, like Malachi. And maybe my randomness has no message. And maybe there's a holy city somewhere on all of us. But just know, every book in the Old Testament is named after a prophet that had a beard. Mm-hmm. That's that piece.
Wow.
I challenge myself. I'm going to get every book in the Old Testament and weave it in a poem. And that's what I did.
And you
I
did mentioned. That thing.
From
did
it. Genesis to the end.
Okay.
Genesis
was
to Revelation. I'm trying
deep.
To tell you.
That was so deep. Enlightenment is a gift. The only way you can weave anything like that is with enlightenment. Now, you know, you heard me bust out laughing over here. I forgot what I laughed about, but I am silly like that, okay?
Oh, so, I'm silly too. I did it on purpose.
Oh, man.
I want you to laugh.
You hit so many points with that. Tell us what he did, Danny, Maxine, Kathy. We're going to go in that order.
I'm like you, Beverly. There was this one line that just made me say, oh, wow, that was bomb. And I can't even remember what it was because he just kept going on and on. I was like, man, there's another one.
Yeah. But it was a trip the way he, you know, the characteristics of the prophets were woven into the poem. Their walk, you know, you're talking about a poem about a beard and the commonality of your character, physical characteristics, but you got deep into their, you know, personal spiritual walk,
I had to.
And what did you say? Somebody rolled a, who rolled what?
What?
Somebody wrote y'all a blunt or something, but go ahead. That's
no,
the next thing.
I ain't say that now. I said no blunt.
No, you did not say that. Truth be told, you sure did not say that. But it has some connotations, so I was just, you know, and that's in my mind, you know. Poetry is to the perspective of the listener, right?
Yes, that is true.
Well, let me get my mind out the gutter. Go ahead, Danny. I mean, Dr. Maxine, it's on you. Kudos or comments?
Okay, kudos and comments. You rocked it. You absolutely rocked it because you had us thinking, okay, it's going to be about his beard. Okay, cool. And then you just turned left and took us to Bible. I mean, you just took us to Old Testament scripture all the way. That was so clever. Thank you, Moody. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So, all right. Yeah. So I just want to say, as an English teacher, I truly appreciated how you flipped the word forms and you turned names into verbs and adjectives and, spend them back into nouns and all the puns and all of the figurative language. That it was just so creative. Just, thank you so much. And then, and of course, there's a holy anyway, you know, so there's layers. You have so many layers there to peel back.
Yeah.
I mean, you could teach from that poem, you know. It's so powerful. So thank you for that, brother. I appreciate that.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate the feedback.
Wow. Beverly, I wanted to give me something back. There are two sisters up in one of them is my very dear friend. Her name is Diane Proctor Reeder. And the other one is Georgia A. Hill. They wrote this powerful book called A Cloud of Women. It's the powerful connection between Black women and women of the Bible. And so, I want to work with you, with them, to give your book life. And you need to call it Every Prophet Had a Beard.
You prophesize it right now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And look at those prophets from a Black man's view. Because we have to give beauty to training our young women and our young men, and we are responsible. The elders are responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, yes. Well, the charge has been sent forth because words have power. Moody, your ears receive it, and cannot unhear it.
True.
Yes.
Go ahead and spit for us, Queen. We're on our last round. We have two more guest poets, and I just love that you all are bringing in-depthness. That's why we call this spit, spoken poet, intellectualizing. Yes, come on with it, Sister Danny.
Well, I have... I love this. I just have to do this poem by Nikki. It's called My House. I just have to.
Do what you have to do then.
There's a couple of them, but I know I have to do My House. I just have to do My House. I only want to be there to kiss you as you want to be kissed when you need to be kissed where I want to kiss you because it's my house and I plan to live. I really need to hug you when I want to hug you as you like to hug me. Does this sound like a silly poem? I mean, it's my house, and I want to fry pork chops and bake sweet potatoes and call them yams because I run the kitchen and I can stand the heat. I spent all winter in carpet stores gathering patches so I could make a quilt. Does this really sound like a silly poem? I mean, I want to keep you warm. And my windows might be dirty, but it's my house, and if I can't see out, sometimes they can't see in either. English isn't a good language to express emotion through, mostly I imagine because people try to speak English instead of trying to speak through it. I don't know, maybe it is a silly poem. I'm saying it's my house, and I'll make fudge and call it love and touch my lips to the chocolate warmth and smile at old men and call it revolution because what's real is really real, and I still like men in tight pants because everybody has something to give and, more important, needs something to take, and this is my house, and you be happy. This is your poem.
Wow. You know, Nikki's so sassy, too, see?
Yeah.
Yes. Nikki is a sassy frat woman, so you really invoke her character and spirit with your rendition.
Yes.
So kudos. Anybody else with kudos or comments?
I do. I just want to say my mom was like a big Nikki Giovanni fan, and that was my introduction when I was young. And I remember that poem being the book my mom had. So, but hearing it as an adult, it's like gave me a whole different perspective. I read it, you know, I'm like, okay, this is cool. Cause I was just, you know, growing with poetry. But hearing, and this is like the second time I heard that poem as an adult. Like now, first time I was like preteen. But hearing you read it like that, I'm like, wow. Like, I see everything Nikki was trying to put together in that poem. Like,
yeah.
I feel that. you know, just with relationships and stuff, just having that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for giving me that back, to look at it through a different lens. So I appreciate that.
Ooh.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on your delivery of it, you know, because I feel like Vicki is reading it herself. So you
mm-hmm.
really capture her. And
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was sitting inside the house all warm and cozy, eating food with her through the dirty windows and not caring if anybody was trying to look in. It was, you just captured everything about it, you know, and that's what I love about Nikki so much that you don't want it to end, you know, you just want the poem to keep on going. You want to live in her poetry. So I appreciate for bringing that feeling.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, I just want to say, Kathy, you remind me to comment, Danny, you captured Nikki, but also we're reminded about how grounded and down home Nikki
yeah.
is. I remember several times I would say, you know, and I would get real you know, proper and, you know, Dr. Nikki Giovanni. And after a couple of times, you know, she said, Nikki.
No.
Okay, she got tired of this Dr. Nikki Giovanni, and she would correct me, Nikki. Okay, Nikki. So she's down. And Dr. Maxine know what I'm talking about, so get ready to speak.
Yeah.
Because Nikki is just that way. She's real, you know, grounded. And I would encourage, if you haven't already, all of you within my voice, go to YouTube and pull up the interview
mm-hmm.
that Nikki Giovanni did with Mr. James Baldwin. You will be blessed. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? But go ahead, Dr. Maxine.
It's good.
You are last sitter. Did we ask Nikki about that interview, Dr. Maxine? Didn't we ask Nikki about that interview?
We did
on one of
at
our
that
platforms?
Time.
Okay.
We did.
Okay. I don't remember her response, but all right, well, we're winding down, and I want to thank all of you for spitting. We're going to turn the mic back over to our last guest, Dr. Maxine Bryant, a.k.a. Dr. B.
So I was really torn. I was going to go revolution again with one of my staples called The Letter, but I like to kind of get the feel of the audience, if you will. So I think I'm going to end with the poem I recently did. It's called Self-Reflection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I think of myself, I think, beautiful lady, full of certainties, not maybes, intellectually endowed, head up, not bowed, distinctively different with a purpose that is meant to forward move me into the mission for which I am sent, and not as a sidekick to any girl or gent. When I think of me, I think woman, destined for greatness, with sharp intellectual prowessness, who's strong even in weakness, no time for foolishness. Does my confidence leave you speechless? Oh, no, not to worry. No, I ain't sorry. Ain't got time for pettiness or unnecessary messiness. I've got my head to the sky. I'm doing more than just getting by. I'm soaring to higher heights. Watch me spread my wings and take flight. When I think of whose I am, I think God's girl, his precious pearl, born with a keen ability to lead our world, poised, ready to create. Colorful thoughts in my head won't dissipate, but rather continue to reverberate, put there by God so I can participate in making this world a better place
for all people, regardless of color, creed, dogma, or race. When I think of my role in life, I think female with responsibility to help those who are bound learn to be free, to loose the chains of hatred and bigotry, and instill love and melodious harmony. I won't stop until my work is done. No rest for the weary until the setting of the sun. And even then, my mind continues to churn, thoughts still burn in my head as I twist and turn in my sleep, dreaming of when my eyes will no longer weep, when it's promised to us, America will keep, when the seed within me will leap at the call that justice for all has risen from its 200-year coma, no longer a misnomer, and I can finally breathe in the aroma of true lunacy that can only be when I actively and deliberately do my part to chart a new path away from evil's lingering wrath.
Mm-hmm.
When I ponder descriptive words of me, I think graceful, successful, mesmerizing, satisfying, unique and mystique, whole, in control, unstoppable, unmovable, able to conquer the insurmountable. Destiny, that's all that is the best of me. I don't look like what I've been through. I'm an enigma to many, and maybe even to you. When I consider the essence of me, I think, watch out, world. This girl has finally emerged, full of life and vitality, no longer fearful of the world we face. God himself put me in this place. I realize that he who is in me is greater than the enemy. I won't back down. There's too much work yet to be done. I gotta stay in the fight till victory is fully won. You see, I realize I'm not in this by myself. Those of us who get it know that we have others we need to teach. We've got others we need to reach. We gotta help them let go of their burden. We got to help them realize the value of their own self-reflection. When I think of myself, I think change agent in collaboration with like-minded people in God's creation who join in unison to change the world and create better for all the little boys and girls. That's what I think when I think of myself.
Well, since I'm the oldest one in the house, let me go first, please, before I forget. The way you said, I don't look like what I've been through, that Georgia peach came out of you, the way you said that. And when you said America waking up from her 200-year coma, oh, my goodness, Dr. Maxine Bryant, I felt like the flag was on fire. You let us have it, okay? You let us have it. Kathy Moody Danny, comments and kudos.
And the delivery, I mean, just everything about it, it was on point. I mean, I was just left wild. You had me floored. Great job. I have nothing. This is great. I'm speechless.
Wow.
Kathy.
Black, I am honored. Oh, my.
Who is in me is greater than the enemy. I see your ministry. Oh, Maxine. Yes. I see your ministry, my sister. Thank you. Thank you for the. I hear all of the. I'm a spiritual life coach. So I hear you coaching, I hear you bringing up, I hear you ministering to others. Yeah, we have to reach them. So thank you. That'll do it. That'll do it right there. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're reading her.
Let me just say something about what Kathy just said, Kathy. You just read Dr. Maxine, okay?
You talking about teacher, life coach, and she will deliver. She delivers, okay? This woman does not play. And when she get into that, let me teach for a minute mode, oh, I love it. She just, she goes there. So you just read her from what I know
I
about her.
You,
but go ahead. Go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was thinking before, I don't know who the sister said who was a spiritual life coach, but my first thought after, as soon as I heard everything, was that should be like a young black woman's anthem. Like, that's the affirmation there. And, then sister said she was a spiritual life coach. I said, well, I would love, if I were coming to her for anything in terms of counseling or grounding myself or whatever, regrounding myself, I would sit down and love to just start my session listening to that.
Ooh-wee. Well, you know what? You guys get ready to write down each other's information. What did you have to say in response to Dr. Maxine?
What do I have to say in response?
Yes. Now, Kathy is the one who said she was a life coach. Danny, Kathy is the one who said she was a life coach. But Dr. McKean is an educator and a life coach as well, and I perceive you to be one also. We are all here to teach, and if we only came to teach, we got a lot to learn. But go ahead, Dr. McKean.
I am honored. When you have colleagues and comrades who are talented and gifted, and they can see your talent and gift, that's an honor above honor. So I am honored this evening, and I'm just glad to be in the number where we can all lift up each other, and there's no room for pettiness or unnecessary messiness in this space.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I want to bless you all by playing one of the greatest songwriters in this world, his rendition of Black in America. And I'm going to tell you who he is, if you don't already know, on the other side of this profound performance. So here we go.
Well, I just want to say, peace, y'all. I got to roll out.
Hold on. Moody Black leaving the building. Hold on. Moody Black.
My son been trying to video chat me the whole time. And he's in another state, so we always FaceTime. And he got to say goodnight.
Okay.
I'm going to get a little bit. I gotta
y'all stay accountable to each other. We appreciate you, my brother,
y'all, thank
okay?
Thank you for having me. Y'all were awesome. Y'all dope. Y'all keep being great. Keep shining your light.
And keep doing your
thank
thing.
Thank you, Moody.
Kudos to your country queen. Thank you again, my brother. Now, ladies, all right. And ladies, let's listen to this gentleman right quick, Black in America.
Rouse. Yeah.
Y'all, I changed my mind. We're going to play Back to Black in America after we welcome Erin Joshua on the mic, because she's going to be the last one to speak for us when we close out this segment. What's happening, Erin Joshua? How are you, queen?
I am okay. I am so sorry, y'all. I misread the message. I apologize for my tardiness. I promise I'm not on CP time on a regular basis.
You are right. You are right. You right on time because you know what? You spit heat. And so we'll open this door anytime you knock. We still are in the building. Kathy Wright Lewis is here with us. Danny Smith Mathis is here with us. Moody Black had to bow out. But we have Dr. Maxine Bryant. And we're so honored that Aaron Josh was here. Now, Aaron, we only have time for you to spend one. And let us know who is your poetic influence, and tell us a little bit about yourself. And then I'm gonna play "Black in America" by one of the greatest songwriters in the world. But go ahead, Aaron.
My poetic influence. I love Maya Angelou, obviously. And I heard y'all reading Nikki Giovanni. I love Nikki Giovanni. She's one of my favorite authors. And I also like, his name is blanking, but Gil Scott Heron. Yeah. Whitey's on the Moon is one of my favorite poems, I guess, or spoken word pieces. So those are like my top three. And the poem that I'm going to do very swiftly, it's called Black Women.
All right. Welcome in. And, you know, just before you spit Black Women, your rendition of Gil Scott Heron's, Revolution, the way you did it, it's genius.
I forgot I did that.
Oh, my gosh. It's so genius. It is genius. I just have to commend you for that. But come on with Black Woman on us, because you and I have a house full of Black women.
Thank you. Black women must die exhausted, likely because we were born tired, born with the barely bearable burden of being a black woman in a place where it doesn't pay to be black, and it damn sure doesn't pay to be a woman. Lying in bed next to a black man every night, wondering if this will be the day that he or I or we both will fit the description. If today will be the day that I am punished for my simple black existence, just puncturing our flesh ain't enough no more. So they have started to shoot bullets into our souls. They are stabbing our hope. They are suffocating our life. They are asphyxiating our joy. They are keeping their knees on the necks of our peace, and we don't even know what justice is anymore. Black women must die traumatically, likely because we have always lived that way, because we were born that way. When women are born, they already have all their eggs inside of them, meaning that black women come into the world with their mama's trauma and her mama's before her. I inherited my grandmama's pain instead of the 40 acres and the mule that we were promised that we never got. Black women must die a spectacle, falling stars front and center sky, bleeding out in hospital beds while being told that we are just being dramatic. Deadly birth pains ignored because we are meant to be stronger than that. Black women are monuments to 400-plus years of strife. Our bodies tell the story and keep track of our wounds. Our bodies be tombs, something like a mausoleum, a walking remembrance of the dead, freestanding vault for every hashtag child. Black women be dead thing walking, poised to resurrect herself at any moment. God knows ain't nobody else gonna do it for. Barely holding on for dear life, black women must die with fake smiles painted across their faces. We wouldn't want to appear annoyed, agitated, or an angry black woman. Even in death, we must maintain a calm persona. Black women must die silently, like the 64,000 missing black women in the U.S. that no one talks about, or the overrepresentation of black women and girls being sex trafficked that no one seems to care about. I am furious at the tears that have the audacity to fall down my cheeks when our girls are dying and there is no one there to cry for them. Black women must die on the front lines. Feminist freedom fighters ready at any moment to unleash all this black girl magic that makes these Karens so uncomfortable. Poised to be the first ones to die for the revolution. Black women must die exhausted, likely from the overwhelming job of just trying to live.
Lord have mercy. Y'all see why I opened that microphone, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to have Dr. Maxine Bryant, who is a criminal justice professor and who does not play about this black history, give kudos and comments to Aaron Joshua.
Absolutely, girl, you were worth the wait. Yes, loved it. Tell us about ourselves. That's it. That is it. And tell us why we tired. Yes. Okay? You did that. You did that. Thank you very much. It was a good ending, you know, to a well-rounded program. It was really good. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah. Kathy.
Yes, ma'am. I believe in divine time. So it was perfectly on time. Thank you for covering all that we go through, all that we do, all that we've been through. And still, of course, we rise and we still deliver. And we're holding each other up, holding space for one another. So I thank you for dropping that on us, sister. Thank you for showing up right on time.
And Danny had to bow out. We want to thank her for her voice of wisdom. And I am left on this call with three educators. You are all educators in your own right. So what I want to do is I want to go back around, and I want you to tell everyone who you are, how they can reach you, and your level of education, what it is that you do to educate us in this world. Kathy Wright Lewis, thank you so much for your voice and your time and your talent. Tell us about Kathy Wright Lewis and your educational acumen.
Oh, thank you. I spent 35 years teaching in the New York City Department of Education, English teacher from 6th grade through 12th, taught at Mega Evers College, an adjunct professor in the English department there as well. I serve as a mentor. I'm a teacher trainer. I teach still, you know, now I've retired, and I'm still teaching, and I have my own nonprofit, Power in the Pen Writers Workshop here in Brooklyn in my childhood community of Brownsville, where we're influencing adults to raise the literacy level in our community by empowering them to write their stories, and therefore empowering their children and their children's children to write and read as well.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Kathy Wright Lewis. Thank you. I'm on all the social media. You can find me there, KathyWrightLewis.com as well. Power in the Pen, writersworkshop.com.org.
And that's Kathy with an I-E, not a Y.
Yes, Kathy with an I-E.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen, for your
presence.
You. Could not have done this without you. Erin Joshua, your educational acumen, and where people can find you.
I am a school librarian. I have a bachelor's in English, and I taught English in middle school and high school for about 4 years before I got my master's and became a school librarian. And I've been a librarian for maybe 7 years now. Yeah, I think it's been about 7, maybe 8 time. Numbers flipped my mind. But you can find me on Instagram at lady_Joshua1. You can find me on Facebook at Erin Joshua. I'm on TikTok, but it's lady_Joshua1 on TikTok too. You can look at my website. It's lifeunlocked.org. That's LIFEUNLOCED.org. And yeah, that's me.
Wow. Thank you so much for your voice, your time, and for bookending a profound show for us. Your poetry is a revolution, and I'm definitely going to be listening to this show again. So thank you so much again. It's great to hear your voice, and we're definitely going to have you rejoin us at the first week of May for the current state of education. So I want you educators to remember that. Mark your calendars for the first week of, in fact, it's Teachers Appreciation Week, and we hope that you'll be able to be one of our panelists. Dr. Maxine Bryant, come on with it, Queen.
All righty now, all right. So obviously I have a PhD, and that is in criminal justice, but I'm the person who was not supposed to make it, but I praise God that I did. You can reach me on Facebook, Maxine Bryant. My website is drmaxinebryant.com, and it's just D-R-M-A-X-I-N-E. thebrutalbryant.com. Instagram, I am the virtual professor. And you can reach me by email at Dr. Maxine Bryant, MLB at drmaxinebryant.com. Phone 912-574-3035. Again, 912-574-3035. Beverly, I just got a text. One of your listeners who's from Savannah wanted to say something. I don't know if you're going to open up the line for comments, but I wanted to let you know that.
Oh, you know what? I think the studio itself closes it down at a certain point because I don't see any callers with their hand up. Press one if you're calling, and let me see if one of these lines will produce a hand because this this platform, I'm not in control of that element. But I do want to thank all of you for your time and for your talent, for being here. Definitely want to remind our listeners that you can listen to the archives of this show at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. I am Beverly Black, a.k.a. Beverly Black Johnson. I am the CEO of Gumbo for the Soul Publications, Tribe Family Channel. I'm at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com, and we're all over social media, Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel, LinkedIn, and Amazon, wherever books are sold, you can pick up our anthologies, Gumbo for the Soul Publications. Ladies, I want to leave you with this brother, Smokey Robinson, Black in America. This will bless you. And I want to say God bless you from Tribe Family Channel for helping us kick off National Poetry Month. We'll be back April 8th. Anyone that would like to join, definitely email us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. T-R-I-B-E, Tribe Family Channel at gmail.com. Good night, blessings, queens, and thank you once again for your participation to Spit Spoken Poets Intellectualizing.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Beverly.
Mark Robinson, y'all.
I love being black. I love being called black. I love being an American. I love being a black American. But as a black man in this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then Master started tripping, doing his midnight tipping down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And if great-great-grandpa protested, he got tarred and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And at this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological, geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an African American. Everybody in Europe is an African European. Everybody in the Orient is an African Asian, and so on and so on. That is, if the origin of man is what we're going to go on. And if one drop of black blood makes you black like they say, then everybody's black anyway. So quit trying to change my identity. I'm already who I was meant to be. I'm a black American born and raised. And Brother James Brown wrote a wonderful phrase. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Because I'm proud to be black. And I ain't never lived in Africa.
And because my great-great-granddaddy on my daddy's side did, don't mean I want to go back. Now, I have nothing against Africa. It's where some of the most beautiful places and people in the world are found. But I've been blessed to go a lot of places in this world. And if you ask me where I choose to live, I pick America, hands down. Now, by and by, we were called Negroes. And after a while, that name was banished. Anyway, Negro is just how you say black in Spanish. Then we were called colored. But shit, everybody's one color or another, and I think it's a shame that we hold that against each other. And it seems like we reverted back to a time when being called black was an insult. Even if it was another black man who said that a fight would result, because we've been so brainwashed that black was wrong, so even the yellow niggas and the black niggas couldn't get along. But then came the 1960s, when we struggled and died to be called equal in black, and we walked with pride with our heads held high and our shoulders pushed back, and black was beautiful. But I guess that wasn't good enough, because now here to come with some other stuff. Who comes up with this shit anyway? Was it one or a group of niggas just sitting around one day? Feeling a little insecure again about being called black and decided that African-American sounded a little more exotic. Well, I think he was being a little more neurotic. It's that same mentality that got Amos and Andy put off the air because they were embarrassed about the way the characters spoke. And as a result of that action, a lot of wonderful black actors ended up broke. When we were just laughing and having fun about ourselves. So I say, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You didn't see the Beverly Hillbillies being protested by white folks. And if you think, of course you think, that being called African-American sets all black people's minds at ease, since we affectionately call each other nigger, I affectionately say to you, nigger, please.
To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in Four Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live. Thank you.
Tri-Family Channel.